Two humorous nurses would like to acknowledge the true custodians of the land in which we record our podcast, the Yorta Yorta people.
We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders listening today. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Two humorous nurses with Kelly and Alicia and Nurse Hamish.
The podcast that wishes they had this energy.
Welcome to Two Humorous Nurses, where we plan to bring you funny, informal, conversational chat about all things nursing.
So this is our first interview podcast for 2024, and it's going to be really fun, as you could hear from the intro. Unfortunately, we're one nurse down, so we're at just one humorous nurse because Alicia's off sick tonight, unfortunately. but if you are addicted to social media, like everyone that's around at the moment, and you're following the nursing community on Instagram or TikTok, then you've probably already heard of this incredible human. My stepmom, who follows nurses on TikTok, she's addicted to TikTok, and she follows nurses purely to help bring me content for the podcast, basically. She sent me one of your TikToks, and she said, get him on the podcast. And I always do as I'm told. So tonight we have the energetic, radiant, positive, and just so happy, as you could tell from the intro. Hamish, how are you?
Oh, darling, I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm really good. I don't have gastro, so that's a good start, hey?
It's a win-win, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm gonna quickly play you something. I sent my stepmom a message about 45 minutes ago and said that I was interviewing you tonight. And she said, will you please tell him that I think he's bloody fabulous? And then she sent me this. You ready? Hopefully this works.
Yes. Okay. I'm ready.
Ready? We'll try technology. I'm going to play it into the microphone.
Oh, hi, girl.
And then she sent another one.
Or is it? Hi, girl.
Fabulous. Yes, I love that.
She is fabulous. She's so fun. Right. Well, obviously social media is a huge part of your life, but so is being a nurse. And that's where we like to start with the nursing, because we are a nursing podcast. So do you want to tell us how and why you sort of got yourself in this position as a nurse?
Yes. So it's actually a really crazy story, because never in a million years did I think I would be going to uni, did I think I would be anywhere near the healthcare scene or being a nurse. A small, tiny background of myself. I was actually traveling as a professional performer prior to becoming a nurse. I was living in Paris.
Hang on. I can't believe you've gone from that to being a nurse. Like, let's just
I know,
stop
it,
there.
It's like, it's like, you know, I worked so hard my whole life to have a career in musical theatre and dance.
Oh.
I studied for 3 years full-time
in
Perth.
Oh, my God.
And then up
did you go to
Whopper?
To
Sydney. I went to a school called the Australian Performing Arts Network.
Mm. Did you know Alicia does musical theatre?
You're kidding.
She is like a massive musical theatre. She's done multiple shows. Not professionally, obviously. She does like in the local theatre company. She's going to be so spewing. She missed out on this. Yeah.
Oh, bummer.
Straight
now
up,
I've got to
we're
going to
be
videos of her on stage.
Yeah, she did Dragon. She was the dragon in a local Shrek production. And I stayed through that whole 3-hour production to see her sing one bloody song, but she
it's
nailed it.
It's a long
it.
Show.
It is a
it
long
show. It is a long
show.
Show, Shrek.
Whoa, yeah.
Oh, I love that. See, nah, theater
she
people
was amazing.
Always meet up again.
Yeah. Okay, so you're in Paris and you're...
Yeah, so I was in Paris and I was doing a tap show with Disney Paris, and
wow.
That's when the first kind of news articles came out about COVID, which we thought nothing of. Like, we were like, oh, you know, just another flu, it'll be fine. Mm. And it clearly wasn't fine. We were lucky enough to finish our contract and get back to Australia.
Oh, cool.
And I was probably back in Australia for 4 weeks until it really hit Australia, where everything theatre wise was probably the first thing to go.
Mm.
And I lost all my jobs. Like, I remember waking up for an entire week, and every single morning I would wake up I would have another phone call being like, oh, this job's been cancelled. We don't need you here anymore. And it all just came crashing down, all this hard work and energy that I had been working so hard for since the age of three just disappeared in front of me.
Oh.
And then Sydney went a bit crazy. They were doing suburb locks. And my mum rang me and she said, what are you going to do? Because obviously Western Australia, there was no lockdowns. So I said, well, fine, I'm driving home. And she goes, you are not driving from Sydney to Kalgoorlie by yourself. So I rang every single person I knew that was born in Perth that lived in Sydney. And I said, Dulles, do you want to come on this lovely trip all the way back to WA? And they were like, no, we're going to stay. We're going to stay. And so I said to my mum, I said, well, I'm not coming back to Kalgoorlie with no car because I will be bored shitless.
Yes.
I said, so I am driving. So I got in my Kia Rio. That day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I dispersed $400 worth of food shopping to all my neighbors and said, here, it's just come out of the freezer, but I'm moving back to WA. I packed a suitcase thinking COVID would last, you know, 3 months. Mm. And I had to make the journey back to WA in 2.5 days before the borders closed. And I made to the border with an hour to spare. So I was absolutely fanging it. From Sydney to WA. Like
that, you know, little Kia Rio had no idea what was going to hit it.
Literally, no bull bar, busy lights. And you know what? We made it. We made it very safe. But then I was sitting around Kalgoorlie and I was probably on the dole for a month. And I thought, this is so boring. All my friends are at work. All I've ever known is work, you know, doing six jobs in Sydney, being so tremendously busy. And then all of a sudden I'm doing nothing. I'm sitting around wasting. So I thought, stuff it. All of my girlfriends have jobs in mining and, you know, they don't know what they're doing. So why can't I get a job in mining? So I took my dance CV into this mining place and I said, Dulles, can I have a job? And this lady named Robin, she goes, oh, Hamish, I don't have much to work with here. And I said, Robin, I will do anything. I will do anything. And every day I would pester that woman on the phone. I said, Robin, please give me a job. Please give me a job. And then on the Friday she rang and she said, you are going to be a COVID temperature tester. And I started this mining career, which made me meet this gentleman who was the head of emergency services, who was like, you would be a great emergency service officer on a mine site. And I took out my super. I paid $15,000 worth of courses to become this ESO, which I had zero idea what I was getting myself into. But they said, you're the medic on a mine site. And I said, darling, I don't know anything about being a medic. And the girls taught me everything. On all my foundations came from these, you know, two girls on site. And that's when it clicked. And I said, you know, I love helping people. And maybe I do want to be a nurse. So I applied for uni. And, you know, now I look at it and I think, holy shit. That all stemmed from, you know, COVID and then having to come up with this backup plan, because as a performer, you just never have a backup because your whole life is dancing and you're gunning for that next show or job or audition that you're never like, oh, maybe I should have a backup plan in case it all comes crashing down.
Mm. Yep.
And now here we are, Joel, registered nurse and living, you know?
That's incredible. So did you grow up in Kalgoorlie?
Yeah, so I grew up there. My whole family is still there. I'm the only one that's kind of like leapt out of the nest.
Yeah.
And Kalgoorlie holds such a special place in my heart, and I'm forever thankful and grateful that that is where I grew up.
I have a special place in my heart for Kalgoorlie too, but probably not for the same reasons as you.
For the gold bar, doll.
No, it's got to... It's got a I've got a synonymous history of being very drunk in Kalgoorlie, and the fun times. Well,
we all have one of those histories, my love. Yeah. That's what Kalgoorlie is known for.
Exactly.
That's why it's amazing.
Well, that's amazing. Do you still do some dancing or shows, or what do you, you know, do you miss that part of your life or?
Yeah, you know, like, so the whole time I studied, my agency in Sydney were very generous enough to keep my position open on the books. And obviously I did one show. I did Priscilla, Queen of the Desert on the Gold Coast. And then, you know, I kind of got into my final year. I was doing, you know, 12 weeks of placement. And then I was so excited to become a nurse that I knew at this moment I probably won't be going back to, you know, moving back to Sydney, being poor and, you know, going from audition to audition. that life just wasn't where I'm at right now. So this year I made the decision to step away from the agency and just focus on exactly what I'm doing now. And they, you know, were more than happy to be like, that's fine. The door's always open, because they took me in when I was 18. So I was like this, you know, fresh little gay boy from the bush, you know, coming to Sydney, like, oh, I've never seen a gay, you know. So it was like, oh, I love them. So one day, aww. I think one, it's always going to be there. Like I'm always performing. It's what I do. It's what I'm used to. So yes, definitely one day. But just I'm loving what I'm doing right now.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you sing everywhere you go like Alicia does?
I sing everywhere, Dal. Yeah. I sing. My poor Maverick, the dog, has heard too many renditions of random songs that I just come up with the words, and he just looks at me like, wow, good on ya.
Yeah, that's funny. So you seem to be, I think I remember the very first TikTok that you put out, which we'll get to a bit later, but you were starting your very first shift in Kalgoorlie. Is that right? Did you start in Kalgoorlie?
Yeah, I started at Kalgoorlie Hospital.
Yeah. And now you're in the Kimberleys, I believe.
I am, and I love it.
How did you get there? Like, did you do a grad program? Did you just start working and then you've travelled, or what? How's the path been? Because you've only been a nurse for how long?
For 7 months now. Amazing. I've only been a nurse for 7 months. So it was crazy. I got offered a job while I was on a placement in Kalgoorlie ED.
Love that.
With still having 5 weeks to go of my degree. But as soon as I graduated, I started in Kalgoorlie, and then I got my graduate program in the Kimberley. So I got accepted to do that in Derby.
Yes.
And then Derby were very short-staffed over that Christmas period, and knowing that I was already an employee of the WA Country Health, they rang me and said, would you love to come to Derby early because we're short-staffed? And I said, I'll only come if I'll be on full-time hours. And they said, Dals, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I left Kalgoorlie and I drove up to Derby in December, and I started working for nearly 2.5 months before my grad started, which was fabulous. Like, I was more than happy to do that. And then my grad started in like the middle of Feb, and it just was not for me one single bit. Like, I started a grad, and then, you know, there were so many rules that came into place. Like, I wasn't allowed to do night shift anymore. I wasn't allowed to do, you know, 10 shifts a week and overtime and all this stuff, where I was like, yeah, but I've already been here for 2.5 months doing all of that. And now I felt like I'd been put back in like this, oh no, you're down at the bottom again. And I was like, but, you know, I was pushing and pushing to get in front to where I wanted to be. And I stayed in Derby for 4 months, and, you know, with discussions about going into ED and trying to make the grad program a little bit more challenging for myself, it just was never getting there. So I decided to resign from a grad program, which obviously shocked a lot of people. But on top of that, many more people were so supportive, and I kind of stepped into this role of being a little travel nurse. So that's why I'm still up in the Kimberley, you know, living my best life.
That's so good. I worked in Broome Hospital back in, when did I go there? 2005, and I left at the end of 2006. And I traveled all around the Kimberley. I actually worked in the Kimberley as a cowgirl in the 90s.
Oh, so really?
I'm that old, yes. And I love the Kimberleys. I mean, I got scabies at Derby Rodeo. We talked about that in our last episode, actually. So just be careful while you're there.
Why does
the boys have scabies? Yeah.
Why does getting scabies at the Derby Rodeo just like, yeah, that's normal, Dal?
And I go to work and I was like, I'm so itchy, and I had this rash on my tummy, and the doctor's like, you've got scabies. And I was like, oh, well, I was just in the Derby Rodeo.
Dol, you're part of the Kimberley now. You know, you've had scabies.
It's so fun.
I mean, it is such a great area of Western Australia. Like, I have extended my contract because I love it up here.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to leave. I think I will be up here for a while. Also, the weather's just fabulous, you know?
Nah, the weather's not for me. I'm a cold weather person, not a hot weather person.
No, God.
But yeah, I definitely, the Kimberleys is a magical place. If you ever get a chance to go up there, honestly, it's, there's, I don't think you can describe it to somebody for them to comprehend it until you've been there.
100%.
Like, I think you have to experience it.
It's like you're not on Earth. It's just the scenery and everything is just out of this world. And I always, you know, I'm always so grateful because people pay thousands of dollars to come up here on a holiday and to do all the exploring. And it's just in my backyard. Like, I took the dog for a swim at a gorge today after night shift because that's just a normal thing to do.
I know. I saw on your Instagram stories. I was like, oh, jealous. And that, like, and that's, I don't just think normal. People, that's right. I don't think people realize too, like, you know, Kununurra has the world's, I don't know if it's world's, but Australia's largest body of water. It's bigger than Sydney Harbour.
And it's, in like my opinion, it's like something like 10 times as big as Sydney Harbour.
And it is the most spectacular, like, people think the Sydney Harbour is. Sydney Harbour is a great man-made spot, right? The Opera House, the iconic Sydney Harbour Bridge. But if you get to go on a boat.
Lake Argyle.
Lake Argyle, yeah. Holy shit. It is, like, it's beautiful. Actually, everything in the Kimberleys is, honestly,
it's,
I could go on for ages.
You really. You just think, wow, we are truly so lucky that this is just like here, you know? Oh, I love it. That's why I just want to keep exploring. And, you know, I love the healthcare up here. It's just incredible.
Well, I was about to say, the nursing up there is unlike anywhere else as well, I think. And I used to say about Broome, it's like people, I feel like maybe nursing in Byron Bay might have a similar aspect, maybe without the Indigenous population, but it's like where all the white people come to get rid of their, like, seasonal affective disorders. Like, they come to Broome to chase the sun, and then the mental illness in the Kimberleys is, like, it's so different. And just nursing in general.
Everyone's just on Kimberley time. No one's ever,
one cares.
No one's in a rush. You know, you say dinner's at 6, I'll be there at 6:30. You know, like, it's just, and I just love, I mean, I come from the country. The country is so me. Like, I've lived in the cities, and I just, like, I was driving today and I just thought, I love the bush. Like, it's just, it's so, so gorgeous. I mean, don't get me wrong, I miss that there's no gays here. You know, Dale, sometimes I need a couple of gays for a savvy beat. But other than that, like, the scenery, the healthcare, the lifestyle, it's gorgeous. So that's really wanting to come. It's fabulous.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about your positive and, like, enthusiastic outlook that you have as a human. Like, it's coming across now while you're talking. And as you say, you know, you are a gay nurse in the Kimberleys. You're very flamboyant, which, like, I'm sure people love, but I'm sure there are people in the, you know, and I'm talking about the orcas here.
Yes.
In the world of nursing. How are you received in that? Like, have you come up against any prejudice or bias or outward homophobic, whatever, experiences in your nursing career so far?
Honestly, like, I'm a very open person. I'm very true to myself. I'm very confident. And all of those things I am so, so happy with, that I often miss when people are, you know, being homophobic or not liking my vibe. You know, at the end of the day, there is a time and place for everything. You know, you start a new job, you're not going to, oh God, one of the neighbors is yelling. You know, you're starting a job and you're not going to jetta into the, you know, Don's office and, you know, do a pirouette. You know, you might leave it a week and then do that. So I can't say, like, people always tell me how refreshing it is. It's so nice to have someone who loves their job and who just wants to give everything a go. And I mean, my mind is a million miles all the time. Like, I'm changing what I want to do all the time. But the girls saying, knowing what you want to try and do is just so refreshing to see, because a lot of us are stuck in our ways, or a lot of us are hating it because, you know, we're just doing it because it's our job now. But, you know, you're making us realize, why did I start becoming a nurse? Why do I like putting on my scrubs and going to work? And I mean, yes, I am this big out there gay person in the country, and I've never had an issue with it because I am so confident and true to who exactly who I am. I don't like that. You know, love at the it. End of the day, someone said, you know, poofter or fag, I'm like, yes, darling, you know, that's me. Like, at the end of the day, it's words, yeah. Isn't it? I think
it is.
Why let someone's sad, dumb comment affect how fabulous I am? Because it never would. Like, it's so bad to say, but I'm loving the human that I am at the moment. Mm. And like, I've worked so hard to be the person I am today. And I just would never, ever, ever let a comment or, you know, if you don't like me, Dale, that's your problem. It's not mine, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
It's so nice to, I mean, you get the comments and you get all that stuff on social media, but I haven't really had any of it at work as such, which has been great. I'm very blessed for that.
Yeah. And I think your confidence in and knowledge in who you are is sometimes enough. It doesn't, like you say, it doesn't matter what people say. And, you know, that saying that what people think of you isn't any of your business sometimes is so true. Like,
100%.
You know, I can't imagine anyone not being happy to have you around, to be honest. Like, I feel like more workplaces need.
And that's the thing, you get the grumpy patient, or you get, you know, some, I mean, don't get me wrong, drunk patients, you know, when I'm in hot pink scrubs will be like, oh, you gay. And I'd, you know, crack a joke and be like, no, what do you mean? I've got a wife and three kids. And they go, oh, ha, 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 good sense of humor, mate. You know, so I think you've got to take the piss out of yourself a little bit. You've got 100%. To be able to laugh at yourself. If you're so uptight and serious, then every comment is going to mean something to you. Like, and no comment should mean anything to you, because you should know who you are and you should love yourself. And that's why I love being the person I am, especially on social media, because there's so many people out there who don't love themselves or who don't have the confidence to say, I'm fucking amazing. Like, and this is who I am. Like, some people, they're always worried about what other people think. At the end of the day, it's your life, and who gives a rat's clacker? Because, like, just live it. You know what I mean? You've got one life.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, in nursing, we know that saying all too well, because, you know, we see things where people don't get to live their whole life, and you know, we absolutely should make the most out of every minute. Now,
like, you know, we're all going home, and, you know, every single day we're waking up to a new day where, like you said, in healthcare, we see people who don't get to wake up or who have had a really bad injury, that their life will be changed every single day due to, you know, what's happened to them. So, I could not agree with you more.
Your first TikTok, which I'm going to play, but I'll maybe have to dub it over if it doesn't work. I have a question. I have a question, because now you're 7 months in. We'll just see. But I'm going to play it, and hopefully we can hear it. But let's see.
Guys, it is my first shift as a registered nurse, and I'm the float nurse, so I've been practicing. If I get a phone call, hello, Nurse Hamish, yes, coming, be there in a jiffy, walking in. Hi, yes. First day today, but I do know the time and my name, and I've got a pen if needed. I am slightly shitting my knickers, but I'm also really excited because I'm the nurse. It's on my shirt. I'm a registered nurse. I actually can't wipe the smile off my face. But anyway, wish me luck. I'll fill you in after.
So, you're very excited to be the float nurse, which I'm sure might not be the case anymore. But how, at 7 months later, how do you feel the same as that first shift? That excitement?
Listening to that, I am just sitting here and I'm smiling because
that's where it started.
Like, you know, we've all been to uni, and you go to uni for, you know, 3 to 3.5 years, and sometimes you think, why the fuck am I here? And that is the moment when I was like, OMG, I am a nurse. Like, it's on my shirt. Like, this is me. I have an APRA. People now call me the nurse. You know, like, you're not the student or, yeah. anything like that. And that excitement is 110% still there. Like, oh, I love it because I love my job and yeah. I love connecting with people. But listening to that, you know, Hamish 7 months ago and that excitement, like, honestly, I am just, oh, so happy. Like, that voice in, you know, that video there is 110% still how I feel now. And I got bagged completely about how you can't love your job and how you're going to hate it in 6 months. And that's why I did a video the other day saying, darlings, I've been a nurse for 7 months. And, you know, you all said, give him 6 months. Well, darling, I'm giving you seven because I yeah. love it. Like, oh.
It's funny that people say that. People are like, you can't, your identity shouldn't be your job. And to be honest, I said this recently when I was emceeing an event. I said that I identify as a nurse. I've been a nurse for 24 years and I don't know what else I would do. Like, I'm a wife and a mom and a sister and, you know, a daughter and all those other things as well. But being a nurse is like, I've been a nurse longer than I've been anything else. And I think I have such a huge love for it and I love my job so much. Yeah, I'm a bit more tired because, like, you know, I'm anemic and probably need 9 infusion and I'm a mum and whatever. But I think when I see people like you who put on there about how much they love it and then continue to show how much they love it, it reminds me that I love it that much too. And how lucky are we to do a job that we love every single day?
And every single day. And, like, I often tell people, especially if I'm on live or in a video, I'm like, every single person in this world is going to one day wake up and be like, oh, I don't want to go to work or my job's here. That doesn't mean I hate my job. We all have bad days. We all have terrible days. And especially in healthcare, you are going to have probably some of the most shittest days in the world, but you've got a supportive team around you. You still have worked so hard to be in that job, and it doesn't mean you hate your job. It just means you had a bad day, and exactly. We all have bad days.
And the bad days, if we think about it, are outweighed by the good days, like 100 to 1, I reckon, like easily. Yeah,
most definitely. Like, I mean, I've definitely had some terrible days, but you just, I don't know, I'm someone who just, you just get over it and you know, you're back into it. Like, that's just how I am.
We're lucky because every single day is different in nursing. So you can have a bad shift and you can go back the next day and then have the best shift you've ever had.
Like, yeah, and that's the best part about the job. Every single day is different. That's why I think I love it so much because, you know, unlike dancing, when you're in a show, every single show is the same. Where at nursing, every single day is different. Honestly, it could be the same 4 patients or it could be, you know, an empty ED, but every single day is different because you just never know what's going to happen.
And I think sometimes it only takes a patient to say one thing to you. The other day I had a patient and I'd sent all the other nurses to lunch and she said to me, so it was just me and her, and she said, oh, I had the worst, I did not want to come in today. I work in oncology and so obviously, you know, it can be a bit rough. And she said, oh, you know, I just didn't want to come in today. And she said, but you girls made me feel so good. I'm so like, you know, it was we've had the best laugh. You were like really loose today. It was like really fun. And it was loose because she was really our only patient and we were a bit, she showed me a picture of her cats and I was like, oh, I hate cats. She's like, oh, geez, tell me what you really think. And so, but it only, like, for her to reinforce it, what we're doing and us having fun and a joke. Like, I'm like, this is why I'm here. This is why I do what I do. Like, she did not want to come in and we just made her feel happy and not think about what was going on in her life in that moment. So that's what we do.
And that's incredible, honestly.
Isn't it?
Why we're heroes.
Oh, sorry, that's right. Healthcare heroes.
Healthcare heroes.
Let's talk about social media because that's a little bit, that's a bit different. Before you put that first post up as Nurse Hamish, did you have 91,000 followers on TikTok and 15,000 followers on Instagram?
No, I had nothing like that. Oh my God. Did I ever think that one video would end up doing this to my life? Never in a million years.
Do you know how many views it's had on TikTok? I just played it on Instagram and it's had over 380,000 views.
I think on TikTok it's had nearly like 900,000.
Wow.
So
I got excited because our TikTok the other day got 4,000.
And it's crazy. Like, it's
so funny, isn't
social
it?
Social media is the most random,
so
crazy bad. Thing
yep.
in the world. And, like, I remember when I got my first, you know, K next to 10,000 on TikTok, and I thought, oh, my God, I've made it. I have made it. Like, this yep. is – I'm going to tell everyone. And, you know, now yeah. I'm at 91,000. I'm like, what on earth
yep.
is happening?
And I think – well, I mean, Alicia and I join, like, you know, we do the podcast and we're not in it necessarily for the social media. Obviously we have an Instagram because how do you promote yourself otherwise? But
yeah,
we don't work hard on getting followers. We don't really care that much. We don't want to be influencers. We sort of struggle with that world. Do you find it, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, are you enjoying the social media world? Like, are you, you know, the pressure that comes with a following and you putting content out, do you have any issues with people being mean or your workplace having a problem or anything like that?
No, honestly, not really. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes, you know, I try my absolute hardest to post every single day, you know, and
it's bloody
it's
hard.
Really random because if I don't post, I will get messages from people asking me if I'm okay, why I haven't posted. Hi, Hamish, you know, we've been waiting around for your post tonight and we haven't seen anything, just checking in. And I'm like, yes, they're like, I'm fine, you know, because sometimes I don't have anything to say and I don't find the need to make pointless content if I've got nothing to post, you know, just so I'm posting a video. And like you said, being an influencer, you've kind of always got to be on. That's the thing. And I think having this background in performing arts has worked in my favor. I'm very used to always being on, in a sense. It's very much my personality. Yeah. And I mean, I know a lot of influencers now just through social media. People that I know who have a large following hate people coming up to them in like social aspects and or at the pub or out or whatnot. I love it. I think, why not? Like, my entire life is on social media now, and that's something you've got to get used to. Every single thing you do is viewed by hundreds of thousands of people across, you know, different platforms. So it's been a huge change. But again, when I first started, I used to think, oh, what if people aren't going to like it? Oh, I don't know if that's the right thing to post. Oh, I think that's a bit much. And then you think, actually, no, Hamish, people are following you because they're interested in what you're saying. They like your bubbly personality. They like your humor. And then you've just got to get that aspect where you just go, fuck it. You know, I'm going to post this because I want to post it, not because I want 91,000 people to like it. I want to post it for me. And you find your kind of niche on social media, it works completely in your favor. Me being bright, bubbly, loving my job, very gay out there is my niche. And that's why my following has continued to grow and my videos get views. And, like, I mean, still every day I wake up and there's more followers and there's more messages and there's more comments. And I'm like, I'm still blown away that people are interested in things I have to say or, you know, just my positive aspect on life.
I think as well, like, I mean, I go on social media because I want to see people like yourself to make, you know, I want to fill my feed with positivity and fun and happy stuff. Like, my algorithm is so varied between people in America eating takeaway food in their cars. to like the nursing content to I have a lot of sort of death content because I'm a bit obsessed with death and true crime. And so, I mean, that's why I curate my feed that way by looking at those things that I want to see, so it comes up regularly in my algorithm. And I think that people like you immediately catch our attention because you are just so natural in front of the camera. I can see that you're just having a great time, and what you're saying, and like you say, you're not just posting, you know, shit for the point of posting shit. Like Alicia and I struggle so much with it, and I think if we tried harder, we'd probably be, you know, like our podcast is where we put all our energy, and we've, you know, we've got over 250,000 downloads, which I think for a niche little nursing podcast that comes out of a small town in Victoria is pretty cool. But no one's going to, yeah, but we're not going to get picked up by a big podcast company because we're too niche, you know, like, but we've probably, we found a market. We found this little corner of the market in the podcast world that didn't exist, that wasn't there, that funny, lighthearted, dark nursing humor chat versus the educational or the
Very serious, you know, tell us your story. Wah, wah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's why we have, yeah. yeah. And I want to laugh. Like, I listen to two types of podcasts, pop culture or true crime. So, I want to have a laugh when I listen to a podcast, or I want to know why someone was killed, like, or who did it. So, I think you've cornered that, and you've cornered it in such a way that you blew up so fast. And people like my stepmom, you know, you've got 60-year-old women who are in love with you. So,
and it's like, and even people who aren't nurses, and that's why I love my presence on social media, because people now follow me because I am positive and confident. And do you know, probably the most common question I get asked is, how are you so confident? Please give us tips to be more confident. What, you know, what's in your water to make you more confident? And that just shows me that there's so many people in this world that aren't confident and that don't love themselves and are so worried about what everyone else is saying. And I'm like, if my, you know, 60-second videos can help someone, you know, decide, I'm going to wear that shirt today because why not? Or I'm going to sign up to uni because I've always wanted to. That is the best outcome that I could ever have.
100%.
Ever. Like, it's incredible.
And, like, it's needed in this day and age. There's so much working against us on social media, so much telling us that, you know, we don't look pretty enough, or we're, our size is wrong, or the clothes we wear are wrong, or there's so much out there that's negative that, you know, people latch onto that positive chat because, like, you don't want to fill your days with negative stuff. And I've got an 11-year-old who's, you know, she's on TikTok, and I sometimes I sit and watch it with her just to see what her algorithm's doing, and like, I mean, it's all very naive at her age, thankfully. But I mean, my kid wants a Stanley cup and she wants Drunk Elephant products, and she knows about all of these things because of TikTok. Like, you know, I mean, when I was 11, I wanted a hyper-color t-shirt. So let's, you know, because that's what was on TV. Like, you know, but the world, you know, I want to make sure that there are people out there that do like you do, because A, you make the nursing world look so fun, and we need more nurses, and we need more nurses who promote nursing and bedside nursing and nursing in rural remote locations to be seen as something, you know, I mean, it's all well and good to be ED or ICU in a big city hospital. Like, that's pretty rock star, but so is what you do in the Kimberleys. Like, I think.
And it's like you said at the start, being a nurse out here is so different to being a metro nurse. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've never worked in metro. I never did a placement really in metro. Like, Cairns was probably the biggest hospital I did a placement, which is metro, but it's still Bogan City. But my love is the country and Indigenous health. And, you know, I know so many nurses who have said to me, Hamish, like, we've received your patients from Derby, and I've never in my whole career provided healthcare for an Indigenous person from the country. Like, we, that's, you know, our Indigenous patients come to the big city, and for them, that's a foreign location. And even the nurses are like, oh my God, we actually sometimes don't know what to do. We don't know how to interact. We don't know how to communicate because we are not used to it. And I'm like, that is so baffled. That baffled Isn't me it? So much because that is like, it's so crazy. And if there's one piece of advice, it is just treat every single person like a person. You know, it does not matter. Yes, Indigenous people have their own healthcare challenges, and that's why I love it. You know, I connect so well with them. And once you are, you know, connected with them and all this stuff, healthcare is a breeze.
Yeah, but that's right.
If there's one tip for people who aren't used to country, it is just treat people like people.
When I worked in Broome, I'll never forget, we had this Indigenous elder come in from one of the communities. He was having a cataract surgery and they'd finally talked him into coming in to have it. And I had to shower him before and I didn't really think too much of it. Like, I walked him to the bathroom and I was telling him what I was going to do. And you know, he could do it himself, so I was just sort of setting him up. And then I turned the shower on and it hit him, and he, because he was blind, the water hit him.
Yeah.
And he just started screaming, and I was like, and he said, "Why is it raining inside? Why is it raining inside?" And it made me realize that he actually had no idea what a shower was, because where he lived was so remote that they didn't have showers. And I was like blown away by that. It was the first time I thought about it in a way that was like, I just made the assumption that everyone lived like all of us live. And I'll never forget when he came out of surgery and the, you know, the doctor was like, "Open your eyes." And he could see, and he just, the wonder in his face of being like, "I can see and I'm not in," like, there was no pain or anything attached. It was just a cataract and a lens. And like, his mind was blown because he'd been blind for so long with a condition that could have been cured. And I just remember thinking, gosh, like, we can fix so many things. But it's not always our job to fix these things for these people. Do you know, like, we can only support them in what they wanted. And it was a lot for him to come in and actually do the surgery. He was so scared. And I think, like, for me, it was a real turnaround in my career about literally treating people like people. Like, I'd worked with Indigenous before. I'd been in Carnarvon before that, and, you know, had some truly interesting experiences in Carnarvon. Carnarvon's nothing like the Kimberleys. but yeah, I think that's very true. Just see past, treat people like they want. And I know I don't know if they do it anymore, but Royal Perth were doing a really good thing where they had like Indigenous menu for people, where they had like kangaroo and things like that on the menu. This was years ago. I'm assuming it would be somewhat similar now. But they really had thought about how they could make it more comfortable and more inclusive, I guess, for those patients. And it was, because there's a lot of things we do in a hospital that lots of culture don't suit lots of cultures, whether it's Indigenous or other religions. You know, we do things on a timeline, and we don't allow for certain things to be done that they need done. And, you know, it's not a very supportive environment for people who aren't white Caucasian Australians at the end of the day.
Completely. And when you put in like very bad health literacy of the people out here, it's like, it would be like me going to a hospital in China and not knowing what's going on, because, you know, you can't understand them. You don't know any of the processes. And I always say to people, get out into the country, go do a rural placement. And that, I think, being a student is the best place to do it, because if you hate it, it's only 4 weeks of your life. You know, you haven't signed up for a full-time job or a one-year contract.
Yeah.
But if you can get out there as a student and, you know, fund yourself to go to the Kimberleys or the Goldfields or wherever in Western Australia, or Far North Queensland, NT, and just experience what it's like, because then you'll understand there's a completely different side to nursing, which you might love. And sometimes I honestly think to myself, I think, am I living in a third world country? Like, sometimes it is so crazy. And, you know, if I could use my platform to show what what's really going on or how it's really like for people in the city. Like, I just think more people need to understand and realize what it truly is like out here.
Definitely.
Because it is so, it's so different to what we see on the telly, or, you know, you see Alice Springs and it's, you know, kids throwing rocks, but you come out here and then you understand why, or, you know, it's very different. So
very different. Yes,
come to the Kimberleys and be a nurse because we're short staffed.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. You can do whatever work hours you want. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you have any future goals and plans for, like, your nursing career? Like, where do you see yourself heading, in what direction, or do you even know? Like, I know you're only 7 months into it.
7 months in, and my brain is just changing all the bloody time. Like, I want to do, you know, RFDS one day.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
Then I would love to go back and do my midwifery. Correctionals, I would love to do. Like, there's so many things I would love to do in my career, which I'm going to do it all. I know I will. But transitioning into travel nursing was really different because I was in Derby, and I made a very good name for myself there. I knew a lot of the Indigenous mob there, which made my job 100 times easier. They all trusted me, and it was so good because you had this great connection with the people, both Indigenous and all the other people in town. That then coming into travel nursing, coming to a town where I don't know the Indigenous people here, you know, you're only here for a few weeks, was very hard. And I think now realizing that I'm a nurse who loves to know my connections.
Yes.
I love to know my people, and I love to be able to show face in community or see everyone at the shops and be like, hey, you know, you've got a dentist appointment on Monday, don't miss it, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I think I do want to go back to full-time work somewhere, you know, once July comes. Where? Unsure yet. But I definitely have big goals. Like, I would love to go back to uni and do my mid for sure. RFDS is something I've always wanted to do since I started my nursing. But I personally think I'm always going to be a country nurse where the, you know, population of Indigenous people is a lot higher. I just respond very well with them. I understand them very well. And, like, that's where, that's just where my passion lies at the moment, is in Indigenous healthcare.
That's so good. I think that, I think you'll do whatever you want to do. Like, I feel like you've got such a drive and motivation to succeed in all those areas. I'd love to do RFDS too, except I get such severe motion sickness. I'd end up the patient, I reckon.
I know. And I mean, like one of the nurses said, she said, you know, you spend a lot of time on your knees. And I said, well, that's okay for me, actually, Val. That'd be a perfect job for me.
That's so funny. I love what you said about connecting with the community, because when I worked in Broome, I felt the same way. We saw such, you know, a lot of the patients multiple times, and you sort of form those connections. And I'll never forget the little supermarket around the corner from where I lived. I would always pop in there, and there was always the same lady out the front, and she's quite a bad diabetic. And she'd say to me, "You got a lolly, sister?" I'm like, "My sugars are low." And I'm like, "I'm not buying you any lollies." Anyway, one day I was at a roundabout, just waiting to, like, for the cars to go so I could go to work. And she jumped in the back seat of my car and she said, "You going to work?" And I was like, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, I need to go to the hospital." I was like, "Oh my God." So I, like, drove her to hospital, take her up to the ED. She was having a blood sugar crisis. It was so funny that she knew me, knew my car, just jumped in, was like,
"Jumps in." She's like, "Yes, I know you."
Yeah. Sister, and that's
what's so good about it, because, you know, she obviously trusted you, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm happy to get in this car and she'll look after me, she'll take me." That's been,
and it's like,
I love, like, it's just so great.
Yeah. I think your energy is, like, amazing. I think your career in nursing is going to be outstanding, and I look forward to watching it over the years. And I've loved talking to you tonight. I think Alicia's going to be so sad she missed this episode.
She is going to be depo. I mean, that's what happens when you get gastro, isn't it?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what can you do? But it's been great. I mean, like, you girls, I love your podcast. I really do. Like, I'm great friends with Steph Kelly, and I was listening to hers again the other night, and I just thought, oh, it's good. Like what you said, you're humorous and it's just really casual. Everyone can have a laugh,
yeah.
You know, rather than, and our job can sometimes be so uptight. And when you let go and you just have fun, it just makes the job so much easier. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, nursing is 24-hour care. So if something didn't get done on your shift, you hand it over, you know, like don't stress yourself sick that you didn't, you know, do this and this podcast is what is needed for the nursing industry, just to have a giggle.
Exactly. And like, I think we laugh at, I mean, nurses laugh at the most inappropriate things and nobody gets it. Nursing humor is just one of a kind. So you've got to, you either understand it or you don't. And the ones that don't, just don't listen. So that's okay.
Exactly. Like, and you know what? That's neither here nor there, is it?
That's not my business. Yep.
No doubt.
Where can people find you on the socials? Do you want to let them know?
So, girlies, you can find me on the TikTok under Nurse Hamish, and you can also find me on Instagram under the same Nurse Hamish. And, you know, like I said, I try post daily. I try, you know, just keep everyone up to date with what's going on. And my new favorite thing is doing a live. I love a live. I know it's just me talking to the camera, but they're actually really fun.
I tried to do a live once. I was doing my hair and I thought I might do a live, and I started it and then I thought this is so silly, so I stopped it. I'm not doing this. I'm too old to do this.
It's random because you do just talk to yourself and I think this is odd, but I kind of love it.
Yeah, I don't mind talking to myself, so that's okay. You can follow us at Two Humorous Nurses Podcast on Instagram and just look us up on Facebook. We have a private Facebook group that we always forget to post in. But yeah, if you want to send us an email with your thoughts, feelings, suggestions, or other guests, we would love to hear you. Hello@twohumorousnurses.com. That's humorous like the bone. HUMERUS. Bye, Hamish.
Bye, my love. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute blast.